If you open up your order of service, you'll notice that there's an outline for where we're going to be going on the right-hand side. Some have find it helpful to have something to know where we've got up to. So why not do that? Do keep your Bibles open, page 1184. And as we come to think about this bit of the Bible from Paul's letter to the Colossians, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to use a prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians that we read back in chapter 1. So let me pray that prayer for us right now. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, and that you would do that through all the wisdom and understanding that your Spirit gives. And we pray this so that we may live lives worthy of you and please you in every way by bearing fruit in every good work. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A question for you. How do you escape those feelings of greed? Those feelings of greed that always leave you wanting the next promotion so you can get a bit more money, or maybe the next holiday so you can get those great holiday snaps. Or what about this? What's going to stop you having an affair when the colleague you've been spending lots of time with working on a project makes a move on you? What will help you stay on top of your anger at your children when, despite doing everything they want for a weekend, they end Sunday evening whining and moaning at you? I don't know what that's like at all. What about when you sit in a traffic jam, there's a pile up ahead of you? How do you have compassion for the person who's had a life-changing injury when you're looking at your watch and you're thinking, I'm going to be late, and you're getting more and more frustrated? Or where can you find the patience that you need to help your neighbour who's suffering with the early stages of dementia, and every day there they are knocking on your door asking the same old questions day after day? Or what is it that's going to give you the kindness you need to explain to the junior in the office for the thousandth time how you do that really simple task that they just can't get their heads around? I ask those questions because I think they're the sort of people we want to be, aren't they? We don't want to be greedy. We don't want to be unfaithful. We don't want to be angry. We'd much rather be compassionate and patient and kind. They're much more attractive things, aren't they? And that's a desire that's true for all of us, whether you're here this morning and you'd call yourself a Christian, or indeed if you wouldn't want to call yourself that way. It's the sort of person we want to be, kind, compassionate, patient, faithful. It's a good way to live, and it's what we want to do. But for the Christian, there's the added motivation, or maybe I should say the primary motivation, of that being how God would have us live. As Paul prayed for the Colossians, as we prayed for ourselves a moment ago, the Christian is someone who wants to live a life that's worthy of God, that pleases him in every way, that bears fruit in every good work. It's the way we want to live. As I said, for the Christian, there's a real deep-seated motivation for doing that as well, not just it being a good way to live. And yet, if you're anything like me, it's something we find really hard. It's a really hard way to live. We want to do it, but we struggle. How can we then change? How can we bring that about? Well, it might be that you think, if I just try hard enough, I can get there. But our willpower alone, it isn't able to do it. If you were here on New Year's Day, we were thinking a bit about New Year's resolutions. Now, back on the 1st of January, all of us were doing pretty well. You're having a pretty bad day if you've broken your New Year's resolution on day one. But here we are, middle of February, 6 weeks in to the year. And the statistics tell us that one in three of us will have given up on our New Year's resolution, will have thrown in the towel. In fact, that happens after the first month. We don't even make it to the end of January. But things just get worse and worse as the year goes on. By the end, in a good year, 8% have kept their New Year's resolution. You see, just deciding to live differently, it doesn't work. It's not something that we have the power to do. And that's something that Paul, who wrote this letter, recognized. If you just look at the top of the page, just before our reading, Paul is speaking of the rules we give ourselves to change how we live. And he says, the first little bit of that verse at the top, he says, these things have an appearance of wisdom. They look like they're going to make a difference. But then right at the end of the verse, Paul says, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. In other words, they don't work. They look like they're going to work, but they get you nowhere. But wonderfully, the letter to the Colossians doesn't finish at the end of chapter 2. And in chapter 3, Paul goes on to tell us what it is that will make a difference. And it starts with this. It starts with a reminder of the good news at the heart of the Christian faith. Have a look with me at the first three verses of our reading on page 1184. Paul writes, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What Paul is saying here is that when someone becomes a Christian, they become so closely, so intimately connected with Jesus that everything that happens to him happens to them. It's a bit like getting in a lift. If you get in the lift, wherever the lift goes, you go. So here we go. I've got my Russian dolls. Here's Jesus, the lift. And here's our Christian. And when the Christian, when you become a Christian, intimately connected with Jesus, everywhere he goes, you go. And so when Jesus died, when, if you like, the lift went all the way down to the basement. So the Christian went. There they are, still inside. Down in the basement, the Christian going down to death with Jesus. And when that happens, Paul says, when the Christians die, when you die in a spiritual sense with Christ, a part of you dies. What Paul will go on to call the earthly nature or the old self. That is the bits of us that actually want to get angry, that want to snap at our kids, that want to be unfaithful or greedy. That bit of us, that old self, when Jesus died, was put to death. It's like it was crucified with him on the cross. There we go. The Christian's old self died with Jesus when he went down to death. So the Christian's old self went. But it doesn't end there. Indeed, that's not where our reading starts. Because if you saw at the beginning of verse 1, it speaks of how the Colossian Christians have been raised with Christ. Our reading starts as the lift comes up from the basement. And it's coming up and it's coming up. But Christians aren't just raised to earth. They did just come up to the ground floor, as it were. They were raised with Christ all the way up to the penthouse, all the way up to heaven. And so if you're a Christian here this morning, you're here, you're in St. Peter's Church. But spiritually, you're also somewhere else as well. You're in that heavenly penthouse with Jesus. You've been raised with him spiritually. And this is what Paul says is the starting point for living the life that we all want to live. Because Paul says to these Christians in this church, you're to set your hearts and minds on things above. You're going to focus on where you are spiritually in that heavenly penthouse. You're there through your faith in Christ, and that's where you're to set your attention Paul says. And as you do that, you can start to live a new life. Now, I don't know how that sounds to you. It might sound like a remarkably quick fix. I just need to set my mind, my heart and my mind, on things above, and then everything will change. But the reality is far from that. It's a day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute battle. Because this setting of our hearts and minds on things above that Paul speaks of, it's not like flicking a light switch on. You know when you flick a light switch on, the light is on and nothing needs to change. It's much more, it's not like that, it's much more like one of these. We have this in our car. It's a dynamo-powered torch, which is great because the batteries never run out. And so if you have an accident, you've got some light. But the problem with a dynamo-powered torch is as soon as you stop pushing it, it goes off. As soon as you stop setting the light on, it goes away. And Paul says we need to do this. We need to keep pumping the dynamo, as it were. We need to be constantly setting our hearts and minds on things above. Because otherwise, they'll just drift. They'll come back down to earthly things. And the reason that is, the reason it's not just like flicking a switch and turning a light on, is because of what Paul says in verse 3. Have a look at verse 3 with me. He says to these Christians that their lives are now hidden with Christ in God. Now, having your life hidden with Christ in God is a really good thing because it's safe, it's secure. Nothing can take it away from Jesus. But the flip side of that coin is it's hidden. It's hidden, it's not obvious. I don't know if you are like me and you do this. When you want to keep something like your passport safe, you put it in a really safe place. But the problem with putting your passport in a really safe place is you forget where you've put it. And it's very safe because if you can't find it, then no one else is going to find it. But it's hidden, it's not obvious. It's something that you can't find easily. Now, Paul is saying that the Christian's life is a bit like that passport put in a very safe place. It's very safe, but it's hidden, it's not obvious. But unfortunately, there is something that's really obvious. And the thing that's really obvious is the world that's all around us, right in front of our noses. We see it everywhere. And because we see it everywhere, we don't need to set our hearts and minds on it. They just drift. They go to their default setting of being set on the world. Just like my torch, if you do nothing, it's off. And if we do nothing with our hearts and our minds, then they're focused on earthly things. And so Paul says to these Christians, you've got to remember that you've been raised with Christ. And so you've got to set your hearts and minds on things above, not on things below, where they naturally go. And he says, if you do this, then you can live that new life. Live that life that you want to do. Starts you down the right track. And so Paul says, if we're doing this, if we're setting our hearts and minds on things above, the first big point on the sheet, we can put to death our old selfish nature. We see this in verses 5-9. Have a look with those with me at those. Colossians 3, verse 5. Paul writes, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves also of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." I wonder if you notice the thread that ties all those things together, all those attitudes, all those actions. As I put in the heading, they're all selfish things. So, for example, the sexual immorality, of having an affair or of acting lustfully. They're not acts of self-giving sexually, they're acts of self-taking. They treat sex as if it's something that's exclusively for our benefit, for my benefit, rather than thinking of the other. Or Paul goes on to speak about greed. What's greed? Well, greed is wanting something I don't have. And quite often I want that thing because someone else has got it. I want what they have. That's how greed works, isn't it? It's a selfish thing. And the same is true of all the other things that Paul lists, of those evil desires of lying and anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. They're all things that are about getting what I want, all selfish acts. And these are all things that we'll be tempted to do if we set our hearts and our minds on earthly things, if we let them drift to that default setting. But Paul says, if you set your hearts and your minds on things above, well, then it's very different. Then you can put them to death. Let's pick one to think through as an example. Think of anger. Anger often works like this, doesn't it? It starts with, I want to be in charge. We'd never articulate it that way, but it starts there. And if I want to be in charge and you get in my way, well, it's not going to end well. One of us has to budge, and when you refuse to budge because you want to be in charge and I refuse to budge because I want to be in charge, we get angry at one another. And that particularly happens if our hearts and our minds are set on things below, set on earthly things, because we've got our world speaking to our ear, saying, you're entitled to have things your own way. You should be able to have what you want. And so if I hear that, I think, well, I should be in charge, and you think, well, I should be in charge as well. And we clash and we get angry with one another. That's what happens if we have our hearts and minds set on things below, on earthly things. But if we set our hearts and minds on things above, if we look to where Jesus is, then we're reminded that we're not in charge, because we see him seated at the right hand of God. And we remember, yes, Jesus rules. Jesus is the king. And as we look to him, we're reminded that actually when I want to be in charge, things don't go well. When I want to be in charge, it leads to Jesus having to come to earth, to die in my place. And so I think not only is it better when he's in charge, it's a disaster when I'm in charge. And so I don't get to that place where I'm angry with you because I've got my heart and my mind set on things above, on better things. Through that, I'm able to put my anger, we're able to put our anger to death. And the same is true for all the other things that Paul speaks of, our lust, our greed, our malice, our lying. All these things that belong to our earthly nature, in fact, even things that Paul doesn't list here. As a Christian, that focuses on where they are by faith, as they look up to that heavenly penthouse where Jesus has taken them, then they're able to put to death their old selfish nature. That's the first thing that happens when you set your hearts and minds on things above his. The second, again, it's on the sheet. We're able to put on our new selfless nature. Let me read from verse 9 again. Paul says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Paul says to this church, because you've died and been raised with Christ, because your old self has been taken off and nailed to the cross, then you can put on your new self, you can put on your new nature. There we go. Much better. Fits, not dirty. A new self is there. And this new nature, which Paul asks us to clothe ourselves in, is one that's radically different to that old nature. Because rather than being selfish, it's selfless. Not selfish, but selfless. That's what ties together all those wonderful things in verse 12. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. They're all selfless acts, aren't they? But once again, to put on any of these virtues, we need to set our hearts and minds on things above. Because if our hearts and minds are set on earthly things, then being selfless is a really hard thing to do. Because we look around at our world and we see that it's a dog-eat-dog world where you have to look after number one and so on. And I think, well, I can't put other people first. I have to look after myself. It doesn't work if we set our hearts and our minds on earthly things. But if we set them, as Paul says, on things above, then we can be kind and compassionate. We can feel what others feel and we can understand their circumstances rather than imposing what we think on them or assuming what their circumstances are. And if you set your hearts and minds on things above, you can be humble and gentle. You know that you don't need to fight for your status. You don't need to climb over other people to get what you want. And the reason we're able to do this is exactly the same. It's because we're looking at Jesus. Our hearts and our minds will be set on him. It means that we'll be looking to the one who embodied these things perfectly, who lived the perfect life of compassion, of kindness, of gentleness, of patience. So you'll be reminded, for example, of his humility. You'll see him sat at the right hand of God the Father where he rightly is. And you'll see, do you know what? He gave that up for me. He, who was God, came and became a man. And in fact, he did more than that. He died. He humbled himself to death. He died on that cross that we may be forgiven. And so knowing how Jesus has humbly served you and seeing actually what a beautiful thing it is, well, then you're able to, you can and you want to serve others with humility. But not only that, because as you set your hearts and minds on things above, you remember that you're raised with Christ, that by his grace you have a power to live a new life. You know that you're able to clothe yourself in this selfless way of living. So Paul says, since you've been raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, that's true of you. Set your hearts and minds on things above. And if you do that, two things will happen. The first is you'll be able to put to death your selfish nature. Second is that you'll be able to put on your selfless nature. And as you do those things, the life you live will change. It'll become that life you want to have. I don't know if you've ever heard this said, that Christians are too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. I've heard that a few times. But actually, the exact opposite is true, isn't it? We've seen that as Christians set their hearts and minds on things above, as they become heavenly minded, that's what enables them and equips them to be of great earthly use. By doing this, by being heavenly minded in this way, the Christian can rid themselves of those thoughts of greed, they can protect themselves from that sexual immorality of having an affair, they can stay on top of their anger with their kids and be compassionate instead of frustrated when caught in that traffic jam. This is the place that they can go to find patience and kindness. And so as Christians, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, set their hearts and minds on things above and not on earthly things. They put this to death. They put this on. And so if you're here, a Christian here this morning, when you find yourself struggling in this coming week, as I trust, sadly, we all do, Paul gives us great ammunition of what to do. He says, set your hearts and your minds on things above. Focus on where you are by faith. Focus on where your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then from that place, you can look to put to death your old selfish nature and put on your new selfless nature. But maybe you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Well, I wonder, can you see how the Christian life, it isn't just pie in the sky when you die. It's not just some vague hope for the future. But rather that has a real impact in the here and now. By Christians looking forward to that glorious hope, they can be of great earthly good. The Christian faith, it isn't just good news of life after death, but it's good news for life before death. Paul says, set your hearts, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts and your minds on things above, and then you can put to death your old selfish nature, and you can put on your new selfless nature. I'm going to give us a moment to reflect on what we've heard from the Bible before leading us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you that he died for us. Thank you that in him we've been raised to new life. And Father, thank you for how reflecting on that, by setting our hearts and our minds on things above, that we can start to live new lives in the here and now, that we can put to death our old selfish nature and put on our new selfless nature. Father, as we struggle this week, as we invariably will, please help us to look to Jesus. Please help us to set our hearts and our minds on things above. And please, through that, equip us to live lives that are pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.